The Daily Douchebag Pledge.
Two douchebags and a microphone pledge. I, Joe, or Jane listener, hereby promise to download every show. I, Joe, or Jane listener, hereby promise to grab family members' phones and download the show from there. I, Joe, or Jane listener, hereby promise to go to public computers and download the show from there. I, Joe, or Jane listener, hereby promise to laugh at all the unfunny jokes. I, Joe, or Jane listener, hereby promise to lie to all my friends and tell them how good the show is. And finally, I, Joe, or Jane listener, promise to visit Montrose, Missouri to take advantage of the power plant, campgrounds, and junkyard all within its quarter-mile radius.
Here at Two Douchebags and a Microphone, we don't stand behind our journalistic integrity. Go ahead and assume we got the story wrong. At least we admit it. Not like all those other guys, we can and will lie if it makes the story better.
Hi all, this is Chicago. I am the most dangerous city in North America. You can't touch me.
Oh yeah? This is Kansas City here. Hold my beer, bitch.
Two douchebags and a microphone.
We talk Kansas.
As much fun as an electric can opener to the scrotum, two douchebags and a microphone.
The apocalypse just happened. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. But we can tell you what you can eat.
Curly Doc, also known as Yellow Doc, can be eaten raw or cooked, although it contains high levels of oxalic acid, which inhibits the body's ability to absorb calcium and forms kidney stones, so it's best eaten in moderation. Use only the smaller, younger leaves, as bigger leaves tend to be bitter and tough and contain more oxalic acid. Curly Doc can be eaten in salads, soups, and as a cooked green.
Now it's time for pickup lines from a loser.
Do you believe in love at first sight? Or should I walk by again?
Now, from his underground bunker in Camdenton, Missouri, stocked full of dried goods, canned food, and a couple of vibrating toys, it's Ramblings of a Madman, featuring Rob Rad.
Batman would look ridiculous solving crime on a sunny day.
Hello, everybody. This is Two Douchebags and a Microphone. I'm the Mark portion of this.
And I am the Rob portion of this.
All right, Rob. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good.
That's good to hear. Yep. Everything's clean.
I'm liking this 4-day work week.
I knew you would. Remember, we talked about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of hard not to like it.
I mean, it's hard for me to get caught up in the job I do when everybody else is just doing whatever.
I know.
When you're doing whatever, you're going through parts that I have to make, and you're running me out of these parts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm the busiest person there, aren't
you?
Yeah. Well, then we keep getting truckloads of steel. Like, where are these coming from, you know?
Well, they're in that much business. How come they're buying so much steel? I know why. Because I knew a little bit about the metal industry and metals in particular.
You got it.
What it is they're buying it at a good price. And then when they resell it, you know what I mean, in products like
that. That's exactly what it is.
Yes.
Yeah, our plant supervisor told me that.
Yeah.
He's known for buying material that a company's just looking to get rid of.
Yes.
You know, they got a certain bundle, well, we could use it. Okay.
That's actually a huge part of the business.
And they get into, like, scrap price, you know?
Yeah.
That's okay, we'll make tons on it.
That's a huge part of the business right there that a lot of people don't know. You know, we used to, at my old place, we used to buy, like, brass on sale. And then when they went to sell it, brass was high dollar. and they get the price that is right then. When the bid's accepted, they go and look at the price of it and how much brass they use or how much aluminum or, you know, or anodizer, whatever that is, you know. They look at the price right then. So he's going to be making money off of that is what it is. And you know what? That's what you do when things get a little tough anyhow, you know. Sounds like they're having... Well, I had a really good day because finally my Jeep issue was getting settled. The bumper-to-bumper, they finally had the inspector out there yesterday, and they finally got a verdict today, and the verdict was in favor of me that... An independent company goes and they look at this, you know, they go and look at it and then rate it and say whether it's mechanical failure or I was a dumb shit and high-centered it and did, you know. So anyhow, he did the verdict and he's like, yeah, this mechanical failure, the guy did nothing to the Jeep. So they're covering it. All I have is a $100 deductible on the bumper-to-bumper. And tomorrow I'm going to get a car that I'm not renting. They are paying for it. Now I have to submit my claim for the one that I've had for 5 or 6 days now. So hopefully I'll get reimbursed for that, but if I don't, I guess I'll just take it for what it is. You know, I got a huge expense because I bothered to buy the bumper to bumper. I got a huge expense taken care of. So you know our good old buddy Rashee Rice, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's got a little something going on as a result of his actions a few weeks ago.
Yep.
Oh, you already know. A Dallas couple is suing Kansas City wide receiver Rashee Rice and SMU quarterback Theodore Teddy Knox in connection with a multi-vehicle crash last month that injured them and at least five others. Edward Petroski and Irina Romova are seeking more than $1 million. I heard it's upwards of $10 million through some outlets, but it's kind of hard to get a read. One outlet says one, another one says 10, and one of them just says millions. At least $1 million through the lawsuit, which was filed Thursday in Dallas County. Their attorney, Sanjay Matar, or whatever the hell his name is, told the Dallas Morning News on Monday, they're both pretty upset about what occurred and still undergoing treatment. He said they haven't heard from Rice or Knox. They felt that the accountability measures that need to be taken place for both of them, but also at public at large, would be best served by filing a lawsuit, Marher said. Matter, I think is how you pronounce it, but anyhow. Attorneys for Rice and Knox did not immediately respond to requests for comments. The lawsuit alleged the two football players challenged each other to a high-speed race, despite knowing the road was heavily trafficked with commuters. Petrovsky and Granova were severely injured, the lawsuit said, noting that brain trauma, lacerations to the face that required stitches, contusions, disfigurement, and internal bleeding. The filing appeared to be the first lawsuit reported in connection with the March 30 crash. Rice and Knox also each face one criminal count of aggravated assault. Okay, that told me something right there. I don't have to go on. We're all wondering what's going to happen with Rashee Rice, right?
Yep.
Aggravated battery, one count. He's going to get off on. And he probably will get a 1 week suspension, maybe two, because the charge is lesser than what I thought they were going to go for.
Well, I don't know. You keep going. It adds up. There's like 10 or 8 felonies, right?
Not that what I'm reading.
Total.
The filing appears, I know that's what they said at first. Let's see. Rice and Knox also each face one criminal count of aggravated assault. Oh, okay, hang on. A count of collision involving, this is later on in the story, they went into something else. A count of collision involving serious bodily injury and six counts of collision involving injury, Dallas police officials announced last week. You're right, 8. Okay, forget that. He's going to get a hefty suspension and a hefty fine from the NFL and also lose a lot of money on this lawsuit because, I mean, I think the video pretty much speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I have also read the NFL's what they're going to do about it.
What they
and
say?
And they're going to do exactly as what you and I talked about. They're going to let the legal system play out, and
yes,
then they will deal with it.
Yes, and that's also the Chiefs' stance, too. So,
but also the actual NFL is getting tired of these guys doing this crap.
They could make an example out of them, yes.
Yeah.
That's something.
I did read that in one story. They're getting tired of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these guys getting off and then turn around and come back to play.
So they could they could make an example of them, and I wouldn't blame them if they did, honestly. Look, I want Sheree Rashee Rice to play for us, yes, because of his obvious talent. But at the same token, I don't want him to get away with anything because this stuff in the NFL has gone too far. And like we talked about before.
Here's my point with it, though.
Okay.
Not just one car, but both cars were in his name.
Yes. That's a good point. So.
And the college players are already being dealt with. I read that story a while ago, too.
Oh, okay.
Because everybody else was college players.
Yes. What was that MS Knox, the SMU... I forgot what he does in the SMU. What are they doing to him?
I don't think I even saved that story. Actually, I'm not even in the area where I
okay, that's all right. It's no big deal.
I got my person pulled up, and it's a totally different area.
Well, it's like this. We're not really concerned about Knox. He's not our child, per se. He's not our worry. So he's going to have to deal with whatever's going on with that, and that's all there is to it. And he doesn't play for us, so therefore I can't say I really give a shit, honestly, to be honest and transparent about it.
Right.
And I think you probably feel the same way, don't you?
Yeah, because from what I heard, there was 4 of them involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing 2 people per car.
That's
and
what it's
And
they
all ran out. And see, that's the thing. There is a charge yet that has not been filed.
Oh, yeah?
Leaving the scene of an accident.
Oh, yeah. Why didn't they do that? That's a really
I read that in the article I read earlier.
Hmm.
I wished I was David. I didn't know if we were going to talk about that tonight.
Well, I wanted to cover the civil lawsuit because we spoke about it. You know, there'll probably be a lawsuit or anything, but now we have confirmation of that. So that's why I chose to go.
I think I read 1 million is what I read.
Yeah, but I also saw another one that said several million and another one after that that said 10
that
million.
Could be.
So, I mean, if I was those people that were injured and disfigured and eternal bleeding like they say, I would go for millions. I would not go for 1 million. I'd be like, no. All this shit, and I don't know if this stuff's going to haunt me the rest of my life. You know, I got to have plastic surgery, I had eternal bleeding, I may never be the same. How do I know? Right?
All right.
Yeah. I would go to break the bank, not only for myself, but also for anyone else that may ever be in that situation again. Set a precedent and say, okay, whether the league does something or not, I'm doing my part in making sure nothing like this happens again. Right?
Yeah.
So, right. You know, and maybe that's the way to go about something like this. Maybe that's the way to do it, is to be like, all right, the league's not really taking care of you. How about if I take all your money for a couple of years? Let's see if that goes well. I'm predicting they will double think that one. A suspension's a suspension. And most of them don't give a shit anyhow. They're like, okay, I got a couple weeks off. Ooh, yeah, whatever. You know, so, you know, I mean, let's be honest about it. They don't care about a couple of games. They miss out on a little bit of money, but they're still getting millions. So, Anyhow, we can move along from there. I just wanted to talk about that briefly. And Rob, you got something you want to go into?
Yeah, I do. And actually, this one came from my cousin in Port Scott.
Okay.
It was something she shared on Facebook. And it's off the dailymail.com.
Okay.
I wish I could say this was my fake story, but this is not.
Okay.
Visitors to a popular rock site at Lake Mead National Park are being tracked by federal authorities after seriously damaging a formation at the Nevada hiking site. Officials say the damage occurred last weekend on the north side of the lake, where petrified red dunes make it one of the most well-trafficked areas in the park.
Wow, okay.
A video taken by a witness, and you can look it, yeah, you can look this video up, shows two men working hard to shove large chunks of loose rock off the edge of an outcropping.
Mm-hmm.
The video was sent to the National Park Service. A little girl, the daughter of one of the men, stands behind him horrified and screaming intermittently as the rocks fall.
Okay.
"Daddy, don't fall," she yelps as the two men work to push boulder parts over the edge, watch them break as they smash down the side of the cliff. Officials have called the behavior extremely damaging, nothing that ancient stones cannot be fixed.
Wow.
Yeah, and you see, no, they're actually like on, kind of like rock climbing, like you see in the westerns. And mm-hmm. actually, where they're, the picture I'm looking at, there's a couple caves below them. And what they're doing is they're up on this map cliffside and taking standing rocks and just pushing them over the edge.
Man, that's not good.
So here's the thing. They're at Lake Mead National Park.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff took...
Now the authorities are looking for them.
Okay.
And since my cousin, when she shared this, she said, "Let's make these guys go famous." So I made a comment, said, "Okay, I will next podcast."
Good.
So everybody look this video up. It's on dailymail.com.
Okay. Excellent.
But, yeah, I mean, you're turning the poor national park.
Yeah. Yeah, that's bullshit.
Yes, rocks have been there for many centuries.
Yes. Yeah, that's bullshit. Wow. Jeez. Okay. Well, I've got a little debate here, Rob. Okay. Evidently, cauliflower waffles are a thing now. You know cauliflower?
I can see that.
Okay. I'm saying cauliflower waffles is taking low carb or keto way too far. I could go with the pizza, the pizza crust. Yes, it's not too bad. I could go with the mashed potatoes that are similar to them with a lot of butter. Not too bad. The cauliflower waffles, I don't think I could stand to even try them. They sound so horrible to me. Any thoughts?
Yeah, well, the from my understanding, the cauliflower is supposed to give it more like a potato, you know?
Oh, so it's like a potato pancake, not a regular.
Yeah, but there, it's for people on keto, like you mentioned. They replace, cauliflower and different vegetables for different things, you know.
Yeah, that's true. All right, you know what? Yeah, all right.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, me too. I've got recall news. Okay.
All right.
All right. I went ahead and got off that subject because, I mean, you know, we kind of both decided, okay, we'll give it a try. I talked myself out of hating it suddenly. When I heard potato pancake, I'm like, okay.
A lot of diets, they replace potato
replace carbs.
Yeah.
They replace the carbs.
Oh, whatever.
With, yeah. Okay, PepsiCo has initiated a voluntary recall for more than 230 cases of sugar and caffeine-free Schweppes ginger ale for containing full sugar and being unsafe to drink. Can you believe that, Rob? Think about diabetics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe it.
The diabetic's like, oh, hey, cool. They now make my ginger ale in zero sugar. I can have it now. Awesome, man. They fucking drink that and go into a diabetic coma. That's a lot of sugar. You know, that's like 150 calories of sugar at once in a can. For something being zero sugar and have that much sugar in it, full sugar, that is kind of a scary thing. So, anyhow, the corporation behind some of America's favorite soft drinks issued a recall last month for cases of the product shipped to Maryland, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. Those cases of Schweppes ginger ale, which were labeled as zero sugar, contained full sugar product during an internal investigation by the firm. According to a PepsiCo statement, about 233 cases were impacted by the recall, which contained an estimate of 5,592 soda cans. So, it wasn't a huge recall, but if you're one of the ones affected, it could be a huge recall, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so... yeah. Anyhow, I've got some, you know what, let's go ahead and take our first break and then I'll go into this next thing I got. Does that sound good?
Hey, whatever you want to, buddy.
Alrighty, we'll be right back.
I'm yours.
Alright.
Oh, Lord, that man just sawed a puppy in half.
Hey there, don't worry, I have a clown nose.
Oh, no! That drunk guy just hit my child!
It's okay, I have a clown nose.
Clown nose, just put one on and you can do anything. Want to run for office? Murder people in public? Just grab a clown nose and bam, everyone laughs.
Clown noses are sold at gag stores online and pedophile conventions. Grab one today and make magic happen.
Tomorrow morning, while grinding your coffee beans for your double mocha latte, remember to not get your genitals caught in the grinder. It really hurts, and who can afford plastic surgery? Stay safe, everyone.
Two douchebags and a microphone invade your ear holes in... Hey! Who took a dump in the cooler?
Brick Shithouse Energy Drink. That's right, Brick Shithouse Energy Drink. Make that a little girl. Chew off your balls. You want to fuck shit up? You want to fall asleep across America? Brick Shithouse is for you.
Please enjoy Brick Shithouse Energy Drink responsibly. It's not readily available anywhere because of liability issues.
Next time you take a dump, listen to Two Douchebags and a Microphone. It's been proven in laboratory rats to relax your anal canal. Get in comfort.
And now, a brand new feature. Strange insults from an alien.
May you always step in a wet spot after putting on fresh socks.
Oh. And we are back. Two douchebags and a microphone. I'm Mark.
And I am Rob.
Okay, remember I was joking around about my cruise in February and how in Costa Maya, on the beaches of Costa Maya, I got asked up Cuban, fake Cubans, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll explain it here real quick. You know, guy's walking down the beach, and I'm lying in the cot there with a beer in one hand and probably a beer in the other hand, too. So, anyhow, doing great. No, probably a cocktail in one hand and a beer and a beer chaser, because that seems to be my MO whenever, you know, whenever I'm on vacation like that. So, I'm lying there, and the guy comes by, and he's got sombreros for sale, and he had a Chiefs one. I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. But he wanted like $25. I'm like, nah, I ain't paying that much for it. Comes back around a little while. Hey, amigo. And I'm like, yeah. I still have these. $20. I could have. I was like, nah, I'm not going to give him $20 for it. It probably is well worth $20 in American standard, right? You know, that's not too bad to get like something with a Chiefs emblem on it. And it's a sombrero.
But we don't know that.
No, I know. So I was being a dick, and I was like, you know, fuck him, no. I go, nah, that's too much. A guy down the road selling him for like 10, I think I said, or something. So he walks on. 20 minutes later, come by. All right, amigo, for you, 15. Nope, 10. Okay, 10. So I give him $10, and he walks on. Then he comes back around again. Hey, amigo, I got cigars for you. And I was really feeling bad. I'm like, man, why did I punk him like that? This dude needs money. You know, he's got this bag on his shoulder full of goods. Well, you know, it's a bag that goes over your shoulder, and he's got like a pouch that he has all these goods in. And anyhow, he says, hey, for you, I have some Cuban cigars. I was really feeling bad. So I was like, okay, I know they're assed up fakes, but I'm going to buy them from him because I completely slaughtered him on that $10 deal. So he's like, okay. So I'm like, all right, here's $20. And I almost told him, dude, this is charity because I know these are fake. But he's like, oh, are these real Cubans? I'm like, yeah, thank you, you know. And then as soon as he left, I look at Val and I go, these are assed up non-Cubans, I guarantee it. Yeah. So anyhow, I tried to get my buddy at work, Oren, to smoke one with me, and he was very reluctant. He said, I'll smoke a Christoph with you. I'll go to Outlaw Cigar anytime you want, but I will not smoke one of those assed up fake Cubans.
He knew it too.
Yeah, I was like, fair enough. I get it. So, anyhow, well, I guess I had some more assed up fake Cubans, and I didn't know it. Let me go into this. So for years now, my Cuban cigar world has been pretty easy, okay? This started in Cozumel at the Captain's Club Tobacconist. It's right there on the strip, and it's like a big tobacco store, and everybody gets off the ships, and they go there. It's like, it has a big sign out there that says, Cubans, you know, big old neon sign, and it's lit up, and it has a guy in a sombrero smoking a cigar with no shoes. It's like really cool. I'd love to have that sign, but they ain't selling it. So this whole world found me one night when the captain of the NCL ship that I was on, Captain DiPaolo, invited everyone to go smoke all their Cuban cigars before we get to U.S. waters. This is the night before the last day, right? So we're not in U.S. waters yet. The last day, you're pretty close to U.S. waters. And this is back when they really gave a shit about Cubans still, okay? So he's like, hey, everyone smoke them up with me at the top deck. Well, it's a little windy, so I was the only one that showed up. You know, Cubans were illegal at the time and still are enough to where you cannot just buy one directly from Cuba, right? So I can't, like, I can't, you know, all those sites are blocked. You can't buy them from Cuba directly. The Cuban cigar is highly counterfeited, enough to where 99.5% of them in circulation are fake. They even have ones coming from Cuba that are fake. In Cuba, they'll buy Dominican cigars, put their wrappers on them, and send them out to other people. Or people that come there. I know.
That's smart. That's
I know
smart.
It is. And I didn't know that until I read a huge article on it. It said, people go to Cuba and they think they got a Cuban cigar. Think again. They have just as many counterfeits in Cuba. 99.5 of them in Cuba are counterfeits too, Rob. Do what?
You know what you call that?
What?
Good business.
No, I tell you, I got a bout of them. I got a bout of them. That is brilliant. My big shipment of Dominican crap cigars. And then you come to me like, well, this is Cuba. It's got to be Cuban.
Cuban cigars from Cuba. That's good business right there.
That's brilliant business. So I go up to the top deck to smoke one up per the invite. I get there, it's just me and the Captain DiPaolo. I grab my Cubans from the Captain's Club. You know, sure. I'm sure that I have real Cubans, right? It was pointed out to me that my Romeo Julieta Cubans were fake by the style of the rolling it had. The Captain was very informed on cigars, and he showed me the rolling process. He goes, you see, he said, this is not the Cuban rolling. He said, I wish I would have been there when you're at the place buying these. He goes, you see how that is twisted around? He said, the Cubans, it's a neat little design that they do, that it's like they're the only ones that really know how to do it, and no one has quite figured it out yet, but it's double layering. Every layer has two layers, and it kind of looks like one of those Chinese pencils that come apart. It's really interesting.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
it's really interesting. So I informed the Captain that I bought them from the Captain's Club, so Captain DiPaolo told me next time to use his name. So I go into the Captain's Club in Cozumel around a year later. This was January of 2004. I go in and they say, hello amigo, welcome. They keep me in the main room full of fakes. That is until I mention these were for Captain DiPaolo. I was quickly taken to a side room full of real Cubans. So in February, I go back to the Captain Club Tobacconist in Cozumel, right? On this last cruise.
Yep.
Since I'm certain I will be getting the real Cubans, I buy quite a few of the very pricey cigars. I smoke one a few days later and notice the cigar was mostly filler and dry. I'm certain these were not Cuban. And also they didn't have the rolling technique. So I found out a day ago that Captain DiPaolo retired, and they know this. So whenever someone comes in, so that the Captain's Club Tobacconist in Cozumel knows that he retired, they found out. So anyone that comes in there asking him for his cigars, they know are full of shit, and they take you to the fake Cuban room now. So now that room is full of fake Cubans. So,
yeah. I see.
Yeah. So, anyhow, they knew that I was lying, so therefore I got fakes. They got me back. All I gotta say is job well done, Captain's Club. Job well done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I knew it when I smoked it. When I come back and I smoked one, I was like, this is not a Cuban. On the boat, I was kind of lit, and I couldn't really tell, you know. I'm kind of like, I don't know, this is not the best tasting cigar. Maybe it's just not, you know, not the freshest, you know. I was making up excuses. And then I find out through a good friend that nobody goes there anymore because they found out. And I guess people are using other captains' names, too. It's kind of like an old gimmick that went on for a while. And so, anyhow, they know that Captain DiPaolo retired, so when people go in there and ask for it, they give them fake Cubans because they know for a fact it's not, you know, Captain DiPaolo's cigars. So, anyhow, Rob, I bring this to you.
Yeah, you know how I've been following the shooting on the set of the movie Rust?
Yes, I do know that.
I have an update.
Cool.
Hannah Gutierrez Reed, the 26-year-old armorer hired for the tragic production of Rust, has been sentenced to 18 months in prison for her involvement in the fatal shooting of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. The New York Post reports that Gutierrez Reed sobbed throughout her court hearing as she received the sentencing Monday, April 15th, weeks after she was convicted of involuntary manslaughter in March.
Mm-hmm.
Judge Mary Marlowe Summer told Gutierrez Reed during the hearing, a conditional discharge is not appropriate. The second option, leaving you in the detention center, is giving you a pass you do not deserve. You alone turned a safe weapon into a lethal weapon. But for you, a husband would have his wife, and a little boy would have his mother.
Wow.
Dude, that judge let her have it. But all she could give her was like 18 months.
Yeah, but per the charge. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, okay, I mean, at least she's going to be convicted of it. I mean, being that negligent, so.
Allegedly, it has come out that she was the one that brought the live bullets on the set.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know. And I think that's why that judge let her have it.
I have no choice but to agree with the judge.
Yeah, you know, verbally wise.
Yes, yes. Okay, well, thank you, Rob. I mean, that was a good update. So, now I got a question. I don't know if you know the answer or not. Is Alec Baldwin off the hook, or is he still facing anything?
I really don't know at this point. I'll look into it. But I'm thinking now that they've nailed her, they might come back. I don't know. Now that they've already got her, that might, I mean, the only thing they got him on is being himself a jackass.
Yes, and he's quite well at that, too.
But now it's known that she was the one that brought the bullets in. She was the one that put him in the gun. But, I don't know. We'll see. I'll keep an eye on it.
Okay, please do.
I don't know why. I'm just kind of interested in this story. It's weird.
Okay. All right, well, thanks, Rob. Okay, there is a guide to Gen Alpha dress fashion. You know, have you noticed how that generation in particular dresses odd to us? That doesn't seem to make sense. They have stuff going together that just is not coordinated at all. It looks like someone went to a closet, then went to someone else's closet, then went to someone else's closet and put all those clothes on. In my opinion, I mean, that's the way I see it, so. Anyhow, this is a guide to Gen Alpha dress fashion, like I said. Crocs with socks, oversized t-shirts over teeny tiny shorts, Stan Lee's and Lululemon. There is no doubt that Gen Z and Gen Alpha styles can be a bit of a head scratcher. To make things even more confusing, known fashion trends from back in the day are now something else altogether. Take Izod polos and boat shoes. Better not call them preppy unless you enjoy having your tween or tween roll their eyes at you. And I've witnessed that. Where you say preppy and they're like, oh gosh. Oh, there's one of those X and boomer words, you know, especially X words. So, So anyhow, here are some of it. The first one is called Coquette. Coquette. This Gen Z and Gen Alpha style revolves around ultra-feminine things like pearls, bows, pink, pastels, and soft, lacy, girly girl clothes.
I like all those.
Yeah, I do too. This lady.
Oh, did I say that out loud? I'm sorry.
Carreras is a lady. She explains it is as a Marie Antoinette in modern times. And her Gen Z team confirms that, yeah, I know, that's pretty cool, I think. The teen expert says coquette is also used to describe a current mood, like I'm feeling very coquette today. That's interesting. So it's a fashion trend or a fashion style and also a word. Next one, preppy. Yes, that word that they roll their eyes on when we use it. The Gen Z and Gen Alpha style is probably the most confusing to understand, at least for Gen X and Millennials. What we consider preppy, aka polo shirts, khaki shorts, deck shoes, and over-the-shoulder sweaters and plaid, is not preppy for Gen Z and Gen Alpha kiddos. For them, preppy means bold and bright colors, Lululemon, Stanley cups, smiley faces, and for some reason, our teen expert says neon Nirvana hoodies are also preppy. Carreras, the
Nirvana hoodies are preppy.
But they're neon, though. They're neon, Rob. They're not the toned down gray ones or the plaid ones or nothing like that.
At that point, it don't matter what color it is. It's still Nirvana.
Yeah.
That puts you in a totally different category, kid.
So Cabrera said, if you see a younger generation saying preppy, don't interject. It's not for you when you don't know. So, okay. Aesthetic, a.k.a. Vanilla Girl. We all know the term aesthetic as a favorite for Gen Z and Gen Alpha kids. Actually, I just now found that out. But what you might not know is it's also a style. The style is all about the beige, the neutrals, the cozy, the soft, and the mellow, hence Vanilla Girl. So, you know, like if we read a book or something and it wasn't really particularly good, and you know, how is the book? It's pretty vanilla. Or you eat something, some sort of pasta.
Right.
And they go, how was your pasta? It's pretty vanilla. Well, they use that towards a fashion trend. Meaning toned down, ordinary, nothing special. The next one is called cottage core. According to our Gen Z teenager, cottage core is a style that looks like you want to live off the grid, raise chickens, and make bread from scratch. So all those homesteading IG accounts you follow, they're living the cottage core lifestyle, Carreras explains, in the English countryside, going on a picnic, living a simplified life in an oversimplified way. Carreras also included long fancy nails in her cottage core style board. But our team expert says acrylic nails are in no way part of the cottage core aesthetic. So, okay. Alright, I can deal with that, I guess. The next one is E-Girl. This Gen Z and Gen Alpha style features a lot of black, overdone makeup and mesh, so your brain might automatically think emo, but E-Girl is a shortened version of Electronic Girl, and it is a blend of emo, goth, and Japanese and Korean street style. I've seen this a few times, actually, with kids, and it's a unique look. It looks like goth with a flair of Asia, or something like that. According to Wikipedia, the style gained popularity with the worldwide release of TikTok, a stark contrast to the filtered world of Instagram, and which the preferred platform of preppy girls. E-girls wear baggy thrift store finds, crop tops, platform shoes, plaid miniskirts, pigtails, and anime-inspired makeup. Our teen expert said the most e-girls are known to be streamers. They use Twitch and wear headphones. Carrera says that the e-girl style is like coquette meets goth, and that is almost feels like a gothy, toned-down Asian girl, or Asian-style girl, I should say, which is pretty accurate. So, yeah, okay. The next style is kawaii. The kawaii aesthetic, which is also a Japanese street style look, is similar to coquette in that there are lots of pastel colors and lace. The clothes are almost doll-like in design and include fluffy skirts, scalloped shirts, patterned overalls, and anything that feels cute. So there are a lot of animal logos, Hello Kitties, jewelry, and keychains. Ugh. And then finally, we have Soft Girl. This Gen Alpha Micro Trend is a blend of coquette and kawaii with a bent edge for good measure. Their eyelet fabric pastels, gingham, and floral prints paired with platform shoes, bucket hats, and colorful hair clips, cardigans, and crop jackets are also a big part of this look. Carreras posted another video with all of this on it, which you can't see because I'm not on TikTok. And if you want to like look at, you could probably look up Carreras fashion or something like that and probably get it. So Rob, actually, you know what? Let's take our second break, and then we'll come back and see what you got to say, Rob. That sound good?
All right, because I got another update.
Okay. Oh, hi Opal. Hi Jimmy.
Hi Grandma. Hi Jimmy.
You guys dodged another storm I saw in Dodge City. They dodged in Dodge City. One formed, a really badass storm formed just to the north of there that spawned a couple of tornadoes, but it did not get Dodge City. So I hope you guys live in the city or south of where that was spawned. So, anyhow, we'll be right back.
Oh shit. What's that over there? Oh no. It's the island of horrible jokes.
I can't take my dog to the lake. The ducks keep attacking him. That's what I get for having a purebred dog.
This is a voice guy from your favorite podcast, Two Douchebags and a Microphone. People often ask us how they can find us when doing a remote broadcast. One, smell. Go to the city market and start sniffing. Our aroma has been described as a mixture of flea powder for goats, Tabasco sauce, and old sock with dark fuzzy urine. Two, look for the spot absent of patrons. Three, the most telling sign is a crowd of patrons vomiting uncontrollably. Four, just call us at 816-512-7717.
Oh shit. What's that over there?
Oh no.
It's the island of horrible jokes.
I asked my date to meet me at the gym. She didn't show up. I guess we're not going to work out.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
So let me see. Let's say I was offended by people being offended. Then would people being offended all the time would have to not be offended around me because I was offended by them being offended? I may never know.
Next up, things overheard in hell.
Howard Stern just signed a 10-year contract extension.
Now, from his underground bunker in Camden, in Missouri, stocked full of dried goods, canned food, and a couple of vibrating toys, is Ramblings of a Madman, featuring Rob Rad.
My mechanic told me I couldn't repair your brakes, so I made your horn louder. Good job.
Have you ever wondered where something came about? Have you ever looked at something and said, I wonder what the origin of that is? Well, so have we. That's why we give you the origin of...
The origin of socks. Believe it or not, the ancient Egyptians are responsible for knit socks. From around 300 to 500 AD were the first recorded knit socks worn by anybody in the world.
And here we go, the final segment of this episode of Two Douchebags and a Microphone. What is going to happen? We don't know. What are these two douchebags going to talk about? We don't know yet.
We don't have a clue. Well, I have a beginning.
There you go.
Okay, you remember how on just our last podcast, I mentioned where the white Bronco from the O.J. Simpson's low speed chase was?
Yeah, hang on. I got an update, Rob. O.J. Simpson is still dead. Okay, go ahead.
Really? I did not know that.
It was just over my computer. I had to say it. It was.
Well, that's good.
It was a news flash.
That's good enough.
Okay. All right. We turned to Rob once again, so maybe I won't interrupt him this time. Probably will.
Care.
I know you don't. It's our bit, dude.
Okay.
You know.
The infamous white Ford Bronco carrying O.J. Simpson in a low-speed chase across Los Angeles after the murders of his ex-wife and her friend, allegedly. I'm just reading it.
Rob, I love you, man. Oh, did it say allegedly?
No, I'm saying allegedly.
Okay.
I'm on top of it.
Rob, you're awesome. That was great.
Maybe finally up for sale, with the hope of getting at least $1.5 million.
Wow.
The 1993 SUV's three owners Simpson's former agent, Michael Gilbert, and two friends of longtime pal Al Collins, who was behind the wheel June 17, 1994.
Of the famous low-speed chase.
Yeah, it was actually Al Collins driving, not O.J.
O.J. was in the back threatening to shoot himself.
Right. Well, they told Click, C-L-I-C-T, they planned to cash in on the new interest following last week's death of the disgraced NFL great. Before O.J. passed, we had always thought this was going to be the year we were going to sell because it's the 30th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Gilbert told the outlet, who knows if we were all going to be around for the 35th or the 40th.
Uh-huh.
The three owners told Click that the last offer they received for the Bronco, which has been on loan to the Alcatraz East Crime Museum in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, since 2016, was $750,000. So wow. I guess since O.J. died, price doubled on you guys.
Yeah, and let's face it, he's had cancer for a while, so you know they were just sitting on it.
Yeah, well,
he's in his 70s and he had cancer. They were just like, no, don't sell. Don't sell.
Yeah,
I would have done the same thing.
And we're done.
Yeah.
He's the one that made it famous. It wasn't even his Bronco.
Yeah, I know. It was Al Cowling's Bronco.
Yeah.
And also a... And then the famous deal where he's threatening to kill himself, he's threatening to shoot himself, he supposedly had a gun in the back of it, and he was going to shoot himself. And like I always said, why does it take 200 cops to chase one Bronco down going 30 miles an hour? I've never understood that. And then a lot of high-speed chases.
6 or 8 lane highway.
Yeah.
No, that makes no sense.
No,
and
I mean...
Honestly, I've been thinking about it since all this has been brought back up again.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I ever actually seen a clear picture of O.J. being in that vehicle.
I don't think I have either. I mean, I'm sure it was possible with telescopic lens. So
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? I will do a search on that, and then I will...
I think I might do a search on that, too.
Yeah, and see what I can come up with. Either that or Photoshop a picture of him in the back of the Bronco and see how far it goes. I did it. I found
the
lost picture.
Well, that might be the problem with the ones you find. They might be Photoshopped.
Very much so. Could be. I'll have AI do it. And see what
there
kind of an ending AI comes up with. Like, all of a sudden, O.J. jumps out of the truck and starts shooting at everybody. Or he jumps out, gets on top of a building, and eats a bullet. Or he shoots Al Cowlings and says, "You're going to go to hell with me." So, anyhow. Allegedly. All right.
Allegedly. I'm loving that word these days. I'm saying that at work.
It works on it works on everything.
It does.
Yep. And how do you like the disclaimer we have now? We have no journalistic integrity, and we can and will lie if it makes the story better. Unlike our other...
You're telling everybody that the whole time.
I know. Unlike those other guys, we admit it.
Yeah.
We tell you right up ahead, we're not to be trusted. So, okay. California State has just increased minimum wage to $20 per hour. The day that took effect, Foster's Freeze, a chain restaurant based in California, shut its doors due to high costs by the new minimum wage. Many other fast food joints are shaky and may follow soon. So, here we go. No CVS, no Walgreens because of theft, and now fast food chains are following. It makes you wonder where California is going, doesn't it? Is it going to be like where all these laws... Look, and I'm not against anyone making a fair wage, right? But these businesses have been telling them, if you raise the minimum wage to that, so like there's a a 14-year-old kid throwing burgers in a bag, he's got to get $20 an hour like the guy next to him, then, you know, that's going to raise the prices excessively to where, like, a lot of places are like, no one's coming in anymore. So we're just going to, you know, we're going to fold. We got these businesses everywhere else. So let's say McDonald's says, you know what, we're pulling out of California. What if Taco Bell says that? So anyhow, and on that note, I have the 10 most expensive cities in the United States for 2024. You want to hear them?
Yeah.
Okay. The number one, San Francisco, in the state of California. San Francisco, the problem there is the rich are moving out because they're getting taxed and homeless people are shitting all over their lawn and there's nothing they can do about it. There seems to be more protection for a homeless skid. And I'm not against all homeless. Some people are victim of circumstances, mental illness and all that. But something's wrong when a homeless person has more clout and more rights than the person that owns that lawn, that contributes to society, that pays taxes regularly, that puts up with high fuel costs, and they have to, like, just sit there and do nothing while a homeless guy shits all over their lawn? No wonder they're, you know, no wonder everything's so sky high there. Number two is Fremont, which I believe is California too. Number three is Irvine, which is California too. Number four, San Jose, which is the Silicon Valley area, so there you go. Yeah, I mean, if you guessed anything to be high, you would guess Silicon Valley, right?
Right.
Yeah, all the Microsoft millionaires are there, or allegedly, a lot of them left. Number five is Arlington, I believe, Texas. I find that interesting because the rest of Dallas and everything, this might be Arlington, California. Because Arlington is close to Dallas and Fort Worth, and their living rate, except for houses, are relatively cheap. Gas and food and everything is fairly cheap, I mean, for today's standards. So I think that might be Arlington, California, but I'm not for sure. I'll look it up and let you guys know next on the next podcast. Number six is Seattle. Yeah, I've been to Seattle. Oh, my gosh. Whatever it is here, okay, Rob, in Camdenton, okay, let's say you're buying a box of Pop-Tarts, right?
Right.
Could you recite me about what range Pop-Tarts would be in?
Hell, I don't know. I don't buy Pop-Tarts.
Probably $6, maybe. Five or six. Wouldn't you say? Somewhere in that range? Okay.
Well, like I said, I actually don't know.
Okay.
I don't buy Pop-Tarts.
Okay.
Come
up with something you do know. Okay. And I'll tell you what the price is in Seattle. Okay, I'll come up with something.
Yeah, come up.
Okay, a box of Fruit
Loaf Loops. Loaf of bread.
Okay, a loaf of bread here is about $3.50. And this is the middle range, not the low range, not the high range. In Seattle, it would be $40,000.
Okay. Huh?
I was setting that up, Rob. I was just trying to set that up.
Yeah, I see that.
Okay.
Bad, dude.
All right. Well, moving right along. Number eight. You know, they can't all be gems, right? They can't all go as follow. Okay. Number eight is San Diego, which is, yeah, I knew that that was extremely high because I tried to book hotels in the San Diego area before, and hard to do because of the price. I mean, you know, they all charge resort fees for just a hotel room, and not that great a one, from what I could tell. Number nine is Boston, and I know that firsthand. I've been to Boston quite a bit. Yes, very expensive. Number 10 is Los Angeles. Last time I flew into Long Beach, so I really wasn't in Los Angeles proper, but everything in Long Beach seemed to be inflated too. So Long Beach is a part of the Los Angeles metropolitan area, so I'm going to say yes, they are totally correct on that. So, Rob, you got
something? Suburb.
So, it'd be like Independence is to us. So, Rob, you got something you want to go into?
Yeah, I got another one that I ran across just a while ago.
Okay.
John Mellencamp. You know our John Mellencamp.
Formerly John Cougar, then John Cougar Mellencamp, and now just John Mellencamp.
Yeah. Was frustrated with a few members of audience while performing at a concert in Toledo, Ohio last month. After a heckler shouted at the Hurts So Good singer to place the music, Mellencamp was caught ranting at the crowd in a moment that has since gone viral on social media. What do you think I've been doing you? Okay, it shows two letters, I'll say it, cocksucker. The rocker shouted at his fans' booed.
Wow.
This thing, man, you don't know me. You don't fucking know me. Hey, Joe, find this guy and let me see him after the show.
Was he smashed? Was he drunk?
When another concert goer called for Mellencamp to perform Authority song.
Good song.
The 72-year-old.
I said, that's a good song. What's wrong with that?
The 72-year-old shot back. Guys, can I stop this show right now and just go home?
Wow.
Tell you what I'm going to do. Since you've been so wonderful, I'm going to cut out about 10 songs out of the show. Here we go. He threatened before starting to play the beginning of Jack and Diane. However, shortly after the song began, he stopped. You know what? He told the audience, show's over. And he left the stage immediately.
What the? Where was this at again?
Huh?
Where was this at again? What venue?
Toledo, Ohio.
Okay, so the Detroit area, basically. Oh, wow.
Well,
I've never heard of him.
To where he talks about. Oh, here we go, right here.
Okay.
I do expect etiquette inside the theater the same way you would at a Broadway show, he added. My shows are not really concerts anymore. Their performances, and there's a difference between a performance and a concert.
Okay, well, Rob, here's a question I got, okay? How many people do you think were mouthing off to him? Out of, let's say there's 5,000 people there, okay? How many people do you think was mouthing off? 10, maybe?
Could be, could be.
Let's go on the high side, 20 people. Okay. Those 20 people are going to dictate to the 5,000 people how long the concert is and what songs they get? That's bullshit.
Right.
That's complete bullshit. If those guys were doing something so out of the ordinary, you should have had them thrown out, and they should not have punished the rest of the crowd. If I was in that crowd, I would have demanded my money back. I mean, that's complete bullshit right there. You know,
good
just
point.
Because... 5,000 people, take the percentage of 20 people out of 5,000 people, okay? That's like 0.0000007 or something, right? So, that's complete
I'm glad
bullshit.
You're that good at math.
Yeah, I figured that out really quick. I'm used to doing equations like that, so yeah. I find that absurd. That he would do that to 5,000 people because 20 people were mouthing off, and that is being generous. I bet you it was more like 5 people.
Right.
You know, most people don't do that.
Yeah.
Most people
this
are like,
story mentions 2, but it sounds like there was others.
Okay, let's go on the high side, 20. So out of 20 people,
Right.
And I guarantee you, if John Mellencamp was, John Mellencamp, that's his name now. Okay, if John Mellencamp was being belligerent, that invited other people to come forward too and say stuff, right?
Right.
Yeah, so he kind of caused a lot of this, in my opinion, by pointing out the people, kind of like what Axl Rose did. You know, where he said, yeah, this guy right here won't shut up. And then all of a sudden everyone's like, ah, fuck you. Remember when he almost caused that riot or whatever, allegedly?
Right, yeah.
Well, it started because some guy out there was like, I don't know, flipping him off or something, or like making a spectacle, and Axl Rose didn't like it. This is many years ago. And anyhow, he pointed at the guy and said, you, sir, are a cocksucker or something like that. He said something like that. And then he said something about, you know, maybe the security guard will beat the fuck out of you. And then when he said that, the whole crowd turned on him. They're like, wait a minute. This is a concert, that guy's having fun. Yeah, sure, he probably pissed a couple people off. But that wasn't for Axl Rose to stop the show and walk out. Right?
Right.
Well, that's what Melon Twat just did.
Yeah. Well, I just scrolled down a little further and I found another quote.
Okay.
Look, I'm not the everyone anymore. I'm just not the rain on the scarecrow, artist continued. And if you want to come and scream and yell and get drunk, don't come to my show.
He takes
himself as an artist.
Okay,
That's a mellow show. He's in his 70s. I see where he's coming from. But I agree with you. He took the wrong approach.
Okay. The crowd dictates itself, right? Is that fair?
Right.
Like, if someone's really being stupid, they'll go get a security guard or they will take care of it themselves, right?
That's what should have happened.
Yes. The guy on the stage doesn't even acknowledge it because that promotes it. The guy on the stage, that guy right there in the blue, is a cocksucker, like he said. That promotes it. Then other people want to be that, air quotations, cocksucker, right? Oh, hey, John Cougar just yelled at that guy, or Mellencamp, or whatever. I'm going to be the next one he yells at. Watch this. You know, on TikTok, Instagram, whatever, Facebook. Well, let's face it, it'll be Facebook if it's John Mellencamp. That's all those people know, right? The boomers. So, hey, this is a video of me getting kicked out. John Mellencamp just yelled at me and told me I'm an idiot or whatever. That promoted it, and I'm pretty sure John Mellencamp knew this. So,
yeah.
I'm calling this more Mellencamp's fault than the person actually was doing the act. Because
I agree with you. I think he could have handled it a little better.
I think he could have handled it a lot better. And also, there's another thing, too. Okay. Me, myself, and I know other people are like this, and Rob, you tell me if you're like this, too. If I start hearing about a performer or a band that has a history of chastising the crowd, I don't go. I'm like, I don't need to be preached to.
Right.
Especially from a rock star that probably used to bang everything and fucking drank everything in sight and did every kind of drug he could. I'm not for sure on Mellencamp, but let's just say he's the average rock star. I don't want to be chastised by him. Meanwhile, they fly off in their jet and they tell you about all the pollution you're causing. Nah. You know what? That's Bonoism. And Bonoism pisses me off. It's like, hey, Bono. Or Roger Waters. If you think America's that fucking bad, then don't ever come here and don't make your money here. Don't make your money here because it's evil blood money, right?
Right.
Okay, so you either are for it or against it. It's that black and white. So if America and the people in are that evil, then you cannot do business with them because they're that evil. If you're going to sit there and preach like Roger Waters, like I said many times before, and Bono, if you think America is that bad, then do something about it. Go into your extremely large bank account and help us pay off the national debt. Other than that, I don't want to hear a fucking thing out of their mouths. Shut up and rock. Tommy Lee, you're another one. Shut up. Man, that guy. Yeah, oh, look at his fucking history.
And you're from this damn country, Tommy.
Yeah, he is. His mom is from Greece, not him.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, well, anyhow.
Yeah, he's still a citizen.
Yeah, well, he should respect it more if he was in Greece, because I've been there. I lived there. I'm glad I'm over here. I'm so glad I'm over here. And I would think anyone in their right mind would feel the same way. So, that being said, Tommy Lee should know better. But every other fucking day, Trump is a fuckhead. What the fuck is wrong with you? I think Trump could say that to Tommy Lee. Hey, look at all your charges, dude. Hey, man. Oh, gosh, look, you were fucked out of your mind and you did this. You were fucked out of your mind and you did that. And I'm not, you know, saying I'm for Trump or nothing like that. What I'm saying is what's fair is fair, okay? So if you're going to point something out, then I think it's fair for someone to point out about you. So Tommy Lee calling the kettle black is complete bullshit. Fair enough?
Right.
Yeah. I don't want to hear anything from him because to me, in my opinion, he's a strung out fucking loser that beats women, has been charged with it. Went to jail for it, remember? Yeah, okay. So in my opinion, he's a fucking scumbag, and I don't want to hear shit from him. You don't want to hear from... No, actually, I don't even want to hear him play anymore, because he allegedly uses backtracking, and it kind of looks like it according to some YouTubes I've seen. So anyhow, that whole band right there, you know, Vince Neil's like fucking 120 pounds overweight. Nikki Six is a self-righteous fucking pompous asshole. As far as, in my opinion, from what I can tell, I don't even want to hear that band. They became the people they swore they never would. Remember when they used to make fun of the man? They used to make fun of the record company. They used to make fun of the uptight piece of shit that always had a problem with somebody. Well, Nikki, look in the mirror. Guess who's that? That's you. I don't want to hear shit from you. Fucking ex-heroin addict that used to do all this debauchery and couldn't even play his instrument. You just lucked into this fucking deal. I don't want to hear anything from you either. I want to hear your mouth shut. So, anyhow. And then, not to mention what they did to Mick Mars. So, Rob, you got anything you want
Good
to
point.
Add to that?
Good point. Good
point. While I'm at it, right? While I'm at it. So, okay. Let's see. I hope I get a good rental tomorrow. We'll see. I hope it isn't like a little bitty Subaru hatchback. Look, I'm at their mercy. Whatever loaner they got tomorrow, that's what I get. Somehow I imagine this like this old Pacer that I used to own when I was like fucking 17. Remember a Pacer?
Yeah.
It was like a Gremlin with a bubble on top.
Yeah.
It was an AMC car too, like a Gremlin.
Wayne's World.
Oh, yeah. Somehow I imagine me driving around in a fucking Pacer tomorrow. Hey, Mark, we got your rental. Oh, yeah, cool.
Geo Metro, better yet, a Yugo.
Let's see, so my Jeep is sitting in your garage, so where's my Jeep? No, Mark, doesn't work like that. A little hatchback Neon Versa. Oh. I can't hardly get in and out of there, man. I got a fake knee. So,
hey, at least you get good mileage.
Yeah, that's right. No, actually, in my Corolla that's being rented right now, I cannot believe it. I drove around for 4 days all over the place. No, 6 days all over the place. You know how much gas I had to replace in it before I take it back tomorrow? $13. $13 is all I had to put in that. $13 ain't even
wow.
$13 ain't even the spec on my fucking Jeep radar. $13 is like, it would barely be an eighth of a tank, probably. So, I did enjoy that part of it in a Corolla, but I did not enjoy being in a car again, being that low. So, anyhow, yep. Well, we are well over an hour again because I could not shut my mouth. Rob, you got anything you want to add to anything? You got a story you want to get to? This is your time. I've said enough.
Actually, that's about all I have for tonight.
All right. Hang on, you hear this?
I've actually come out of three tonight, or four tonight.
You have. Good story.
Give me a little more time tonight. So.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen. That's me wiping my hands of this whole episode. Everybody. Oh, by the way, programming note. Did you notice that the last episode was in front of the episode before?
Yep.
Okay. I have that weird buzzing sound, and I'm in the process of cleaning up the episode before, so they are not in order of what we've done. So right. The next podcast you're going to get was actually recorded two podcasts ago. Every now and then I'm getting some sort of a buzzing that I can't hear in headphones and I can't hear on the microphone.
Which I think is the episode that has night two of WrestleMania on it.
Yes. Oh, it has one of the WrestleManias, and it sucks because I wanted
it
to be
in night two of the WrestleMania, yeah.
Yeah, so that will come to you very next. Like I said, I figured out how to take the buzzing out of it, but it's a very slow process, and it's going to take a little while. By the way, our numbers are out of the fucking roof, dude. Have you seen that?
Honestly, I looked yesterday or the day before, and mine is starting to update.
We're up 127% from last month. 127%. So, I don't know. We got a lot to talk about on this.
That's the numbers we want.
Yeah. I mean, do we really want to go to this other platform? I don't know. This seems to be catching ground. It seems to be really catching on in the platforms we have right here. And I'm not sure. I mean, because the money's not going to change anything, because you have to really, really, really be up there to make any type of money at all or even break even. You know, they're talking about, like, maybe, from what I gather, you got to have that threshold. Right. That threshold starts like maybe 10 bucks a month or something. So I don't know. Maybe we stay with
10 bucks a month.
That's kind of the way that I took it. They didn't really explain it all, but it looks to me like you have to be way up there when you make decent money. And that's probably like maybe 200 a week or something. You have to be way up there. So maybe we stay the course. We're going to talk about it, you know, off of the program, of course.
Yeah, we will.
I don't know. I'm kind of leaning towards not doing it, but we'll see. Anyhow, all right.
We'll talk about it.
We will. All right. Rob, thank you for joining me. Good night, assholes.
Good night, assholes.
Oh, no. Looks like the show's over, kids. Mark has explosive diarrhea and can't afford a wireless mic. Fear not, assholes. They'll be back invading your ear holes soon.